Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. I greet you in the name of Jesus, the one who calls us to walk in the way of love and the one who promised to journey with us as friend. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us this day by our live streamed or our recorded worship. Distance and time continue to divide us, and yet by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are one in the body of Christ. And for all you mothers out there, we wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. And to my own mom, happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm sure we'll be talking later. No matter who you are, or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. We have several announcements that we have for you this day. There's a lot happening in church life right now. As usual, however, we want to begin by thanking our worship leaders for their time and energy and talents they're bringing to make this worship possible. And so we offer thanks to Jeanette Zaretter and Wayne Zaretter, to Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, and also, as usual, special thanks to Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and the staff at Pegasus Natick for their technical expertise that's making this worship possible. We have a time of candle lighting during our worship, and so we invite you to have a candle and to light it when I do that as well, just following the announcements. We also have a time of morning prayer, just following the reflection, and we'll be lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations during that time. You'll find several of them that are listed in the church's bulletin, but we also encourage you, if you have prayer concerns or celebrations you'd like to lift up and have us include in worship this day, that you can email them to us now at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. That's prayers@firstchurchnatick.org. And if we receive those by the time of the reflection, we should be able to blend them into our worship this morning and our prayer together. We have a time, as always, of post-worship fellowship, just following our worship time via Zoom. A link for that has gone out in the church's weekly emailing, which you'll find on Friday, from Friday or this morning. You can also find that link on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We have a midweek connection and prayer time Wednesdays at noon. This is a time of sharing and offering prayer concerns and also praying together. It's an informal time, and we invite you to be a part of that. A link as well is found in the church's link emailing. If you have some pastoral care needs that arise during the week, I encourage you to email me at my church email at pastor@firstchurchnatick.org, or to call me in the number that you can find on the church's website or also in the church's bulletin. We are spending this month keeping in focus mental health awareness. New symbols are around the church. You'll see a flag hanging outside the church right now that you may not recognize. This is you'll see an image of it over here on the screen, and we encourage you to keep in your mind all those who are suffering with challenges related to mental health. We are committed to helping to reduce stigma around mental health and sending the message that you are not alone. We have some exciting things coming up in the life of the church. One of those things is that we'll continue on next steps regarding the decision whether or not to proceed with a capital campaign. And so I'm inviting you to two information and conversation sessions, one on May 16th and one on May 23rd. That's right, they're just a week apart, from noon to one via Zoom. These will follow after an abbreviated post-worship fellowship time on those Sundays. You'll be receiving more detailed information about possible interior projects to be completed through a capital campaign. There's going to be ample time for Q&A. And really, really one of the most important things about these conversations is that we will be hearing from you about those things that you think are most important to our church as we think about capital improvements, and in particular, as we fit those with our church's values and core commitments. So we invite you to be a part of that, these two conversations. We know that there will be information that's the same that's going to be shared on these two Sundays, but we also know that there is going to be a developing conversation around these things as well. And so I actually would invite you to participate in both of those. I think our conversations are going to develop over time. So if you have any questions about it, you can let me know. A tentative date for campaign vote is Sunday, June 13th. Also, I want to invite you to take part in our church's plant sale, which will be happening this Saturday, May 15th, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock in the church parking lot and outside the church. There is a terrific variety of beautiful flowers to choose from. There's an order form with photos of the flowers in the link emailing that went out on Friday and this morning. You can take a look at those and you'll see that I'm not kidding. These are really beautiful flowers. We can take pre-orders up through May 13th. You can use that order form in the link emailing, or you can contact Peg in the church office if you have any questions or want to place an order. All the proceeds that are gained through this special plant sale will benefit the core mission and ministry of First Congregational Church of Natick. One other announcement, you'll not see a slide about this, but I just want to let you know that church leaders are working together to discuss return to in-person worship. We're hoping that we're going to have some information for you soon about that. We're excited about the real possibility of being able to do that in the not too distant future. We promise to keep you posted about those plans and hope to give you an update very, very soon. So we come to a time now of continuing to bring our hearts and minds to worship. And as we do, we invite the Spirit to be with us. And one of the ways that we do that in our worship is by lighting a candle together. So I invite you to do that now, to remember that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. Let us continue our worship now with this morning's responsive call to celebration.
Please join us in the responsive call to celebration. Come, all you weary, find rest for your souls.
Here, taste the living water of renewal.
Come from busy weeks and anxious worry.
Find here green pastures.
Songs that lift you to the heavens.
Prayers that ease the wrinkles from your soul.
Come and worship, for the healing God is here.
And friends who will bear you up.
Grace and fount of blessing, all who live.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, we arrive in need of love. Like children, we need the warm arms of a mother cradling us to the breast. Like teenagers, we need love which expresses itself in freedom, an endless sky in which to test our wings. Like young lovers, we need the ecstasy of reciprocal desire. Like old friends, we need the comfort of time-tested companionship. Excuse me. Which softly warms us like a well-flannel shirt. As we worship you today, let us find the love we seek. Let it fill our lives as wine fills a cask. Let it overflow like water from a desert spring. Let it glow like a noonday sun. Let the world know that our name is Christian because of the love we hold and share, and the love which keeps us in your kingdom.
I want to thank Jeanette for continuing, even though she was obviously struggling there with some dry throat. What you can't see and which I can see is that her husband Wayne left his place and went to another part of the house, and I think probably brought her a glass of water. And Jeanette's giving me the thumbs up, and I can't tell you how closely this relates to our worship theme today as we think about friendship and what it means to be partners of many different kinds and the kind of love that we extend to one another and how we need one another for mutual support. So this is live worship, even though this is coming to you online. And I want you to know that it is a blessed time of being with you and of knowing that we can be friends together. And so in the spirit of that, I invite you now to be in a time of sharing the peace of Christ. I invite each of us to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, maybe placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you, my friends. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we come to a time now of lifting up the many gifts that God has given us and to reflect together on how we can use those well in the world to serve the world and spread the love of God in the world. So there are lots of different ways to be a participant in the life of this church and extend its mission and ministry. One of those, of course, is through money gifts. You can mail a check to the church office, and we can certainly receive your gift and money gift in that way. But if you would also like to learn more about other ways that you can give, one of those ways is to make a contribution online using our secure giving portal at www.firstchurchnatick.org. We are a church together, and that means blending all of the gifts that we have in our control to help us be those instruments of care in the world. So with joyous thanksgiving, may we offer ourselves and our substance to honor God, our Creator and our Renewer. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving God, who with joyous thanksgiving we offer ourselves and our substance to you, we dedicate this offering to the poor who lack basic necessities and all who are spiritually destitute. Make us responsible stewards of all the resources gathered by our church and of all the bounty you have entrusted to us individually and together. Amen.
The first scripture reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And continuing in the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." Here ends the scripture reading for the day.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the things that this Sunday's readings remind me of is, as his time drew to a close on the earth, Jesus had friendship on his mind. "You are my friends," he says. "No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Considering friendship always makes me think about those first friends that I made back in school. And so this week I took a little trip down memory lane, leafing through some high school yearbooks. I was completely taken aback, actually, recalling what my friends once thought of me. Like when I flipped through my senior yearbook and found that page that lists superlatives. Now, it has always been satisfying to me that my classmates, my friends then voted me most likely to succeed. Actually, something I would say that my friend David Narkowitz, who is current mayor of Northampton, probably actually did better than I did, but there we have it. But there is that other superlative that I receive that I usually don't talk about, even more embarrassing than being one half of the class couple, friendliest. So it kind of sounds weak up against successful, don't you think? Well, anyway, as I age, my notions about success also change, and I wonder if it's not so bad after all. And I wonder whether I have actually lived up to my old friend's opinion of me. I hope so. It seems that our ideas about friendship can vary really widely. And I believe that part of this has to do, at least to the advent of Facebook. From the outset, the idea behind this leading social networking service was that you create an online profile and you add users as friends, and you get down to being friendly via the internet. Who is a friend by Facebook's definition? Well, anyone you want to share a connection with for any reason. And yet the Urban Dictionary, a web-based dictionary of contemporary phrases and words generated by site visitors, defines a Facebook friend a little differently. It simply defines a Facebook friend as a contact, or a person whose profile updates you've spent more time reading online than actually seeing them in person. And that is a pre-pandemic definition. In other words, to be Facebook friendly, you don't actually need to know someone or have talked to them in any other way than with Facebook. And I believe most of us think of true friendship as more than someone you just want to stay connected to for any old reason. Webster defines a friend as a person who has a close personal relationship of mutual affection and trust with another. But I like the down-to-earth grittiness of the Urban Dictionary's definition of a true friend, where we find this: someone who is happy to spend time with you doing absolutely nothing. Someone who doesn't mind driving you on stupid errands, who will get up at midnight because you want to go on an adventure, and who doesn't have to talk to communicate to you. Someone who tells you if you're being stupid, but doesn't make you feel stupid. Someone for whom you're willing to change your opinions. Someone you like so much, it doesn't matter if you share interests or traits. Someone you like so much, you start to like the things they like. Someone, and here I quote, who it's okay to fart in front of. Well, gritty. However we define it, true friendship is the mystery of the two, of the face-to-face and the heart-to-heart, of empathy and compassion and love, of closeness, of proximity, of welcome, of two being separate, but also somehow becoming one. As Aristotle said, what is a friend? What is a friend? A single soul in two bodies. The creation story agrees. God judges all creation good, but after creating a lone person, God decides the world lacks some essential goodness, and so God creates another human being. So we may be independent and self-sufficient, but friendship from the biblical perspective makes us whole. The Gospels speak of love in two ways. Agape, the Greek word meaning universal love for all people, and this other word, philia, the Greek word for particular friendship love. When Jesus says, love your enemies, he speaks of agape, love based on a principle of respect. But philia is different. Philia is personal. Philia is tender. For Jesus, philia was essential to faithful living. It's the word he uses when he commands his followers to love one another as he loved them. I don't call you servants any longer, he says. I call you friends. I'm giving you these commands so you may love one another. So you think about it. Christianity is founded on the idea of people committed to each other with universal love. Yes, we are yet held together by this tangible love of friendship. For Jesus, the spiritual life is inseparable from communion with others by loving others as friends. Well, we could spend all day debating what is a true friend. We're not going to do that. But the fact is, we know friendship and our friends through the experiences that we have. Dealing with leukemia several years ago, I appreciated my friends more, and I saw the truth of Cicero's comment that friendship improves happiness and abates misery by the doubling of our joy and the dividing of our grief. I also learned who my true friends really are. Now, what I want you to do now is to picture a true friend in your mind. And as you hear some of the following things I'm going to say, consider what you have appreciated most in the friendships that you have. And so we hear from Euripides, one loyal friend is worth 10,000 relatives. From Epicurus, it is not so much our friends' help that helps us as the confident knowledge that they will help us. Or an Arabian proverb, friendship is being at peace with one another, neither having to weigh thoughts or measure words, but pouring out all the contents of one's heart, chaff and grain together, knowing the gentlest of hands will take and sift it, keeping what's worth saving, and with a breath of kindness, blow the rest away. Or one of my favorite sayings, real friends are those who, when you make a fool of yourself, don't think that you have done a permanent job. Friendship means feeling, I think, I like me best when I am with you. So I want you to think what you would say to those friends if you could say those things right now. And I hope that sometime soon you'll take the opportunity to do that, because looking back at my high school yearbook, I also recalled that I had missed my 10-year school reunion, and I had missed, frankly, the last chance I had to talk to an old friend. Just months later, my friend Cynthia was killed in a Russian bombing raid while she was on a photojournalist assignment in Chechnya. So as Anna Cummins says, do not save your loving speeches for your friends till they are dead. Do not write them on their tombstones. Speak them rather now instead. These days, we are learning how all growing things are connected, especially as our extractive economies have put stresses on our environment. We're paying more attention there. I've been thinking of the work of forester Peter Wohlleben in The Hidden Life of Trees and ecologist Suzanne Simard in her new memoir, Finding the Mother Tree, when they speak of the social life of trees. I was fascinated to hear of mother trees, but also of tree friendships. The way trees will make room for neighbors to grow, becoming partners, sharing nutrients and water, and communicating with one another through interlocking root systems and mycorrhizal fungi under the ground. And of course, by standing next to one another, adding strength and shelter against the elements. Tree friendships. Who'd have thought that, right? But we're learning. And then I recall Walt Whitman and the poem that he wrote, in which he says, "I saw in Louisiana a live oak growing. All the lone stood it, and the moss hung down from the trees. Without any companion, it grew there. And its look, rude and unbending and lusty, made me think of myself. But I wondered how it could utter joyous leave, standing alone without its friend near. For I knew I could not. And I broke off a twig with a certain number of leaves upon it and brought it away. And I have placed it in sight in my room. It is not needed to remind me as of my own dear friends. For I believe lately, I think little else of than of them. Yet it remains to me a curious token. It makes me think of manly love for all that. And though the live oak glistens there in Louisiana, solitary in a wide, flat space, uttering joyous leaves all its life without a friend, a lover near, I know very well I could not." Years ago, after getting the all clear that my cancer was in remission, we threw a party and we invited our closest friends. And I remember that day fondly, that warm feeling and the awareness of having made it through a hard time and knowing that I had done that through those gathered friends and others. And just looking around that room at that group and basking in the blessing of their friendship helped me to bud out my own joyous leaves when it seemed that my springtime was never going to come. May we abide Emerson's injunction to keep our friendships in repair. For being a whole person and experiencing joy requires others with whom we are bound in an essential way. And may we also aspire to the high calling of true friend, going beyond merely being friendly, something most of us, including most churches, smugly think that they are. For when Jesus says there is no greater love than laying down one's life for one's friends, he calls us to go beyond social niceties and embody, make manifest true friendship, and not only with those who it's in our interest to befriend. To risk getting involved in the messiness of relationship, to bring our whole selves and invest ourselves in others, to live as if the interests of others are at least as important as our own. And so may God give us the wisdom and the courage to offer each other, strangers though we may be to one another, the sacrament of friendship, and thereby the grace of having a divine foretaste of the realm of love that God wants each and every one of us to know well. Amen. And so one of the things that we do as we gather to be in prayer together is to join our hearts and minds together as friends with that aspiration in our minds. And so we have many prayer concerns and celebrations lifted up in our in the bulletin, but there may have been others that have come to us before or during this worship. And so I turn now to Wayne Zaretter to let us know about those that that may have come to us. Wayne?
Good morning. We join with Rachel Keady with thoughts and prayers for her former colleague, Anjali, and Anjali's parents who have been infected with the coronavirus in India. May God's strength and healing care be with the patients and healthcare workers infected by the crisis in India. Our thoughts and prayers go out to baby Kiligro. Lastly, prayers for safe travel go out to Tom and Val Zico cousins of the Serretos as they begin their 6,000-mile Great Loop voyage in their sailboat from Newport, Rhode Island, through the Erie Canal, inland waterways, the Gulf of Mexico, and returning up the intercoastal waterway back to Boston. May God surround them with loving care, protect them from every danger, and bring them in safety to the journey's end.
Thank you, Wayne. And another reminder of friendship. Boy, you've got to be good friends to go on a year-long 6,000-mile trip like that. What an amazing, amazing thing, and probably a terrific story at the journey's end. So look forward to hearing about that. Let us bring together our hearts and minds as we pray together. Let us pray. Holy God, mothering God, God whose labor gave birth to a universe, indeed to multi-universes, we give you thanks for those women through whom you brought us into the world and for all the other women who have been your instruments of love and nurture in our lives. So we thank you. We thank you for the women who cared for us when we were helpless infants, who gave us our first impressions of your love. We thank you for the women who called us to take our first steps, maybe, just as you would call us to walk in the way of faith. And so thank you for the women of faith who also first shared with us the truths of your word and what that looks like embodied. Thank you for the strong women who modeled life's possibilities and for the wise women who helped us overcome our fears. Whether our experience of being mothered came through one woman or many, we owe our thanks and praise to you for the blessings that we received through them. Gentle God, we pray for those women who have wanted to be mothers, but who for some reason or another could not. And so we thank you for the love that you have poured into their hearts. And we pray for those who are mothers of growing children. Give them discernment to see each child's uniqueness and the wisdom to prepare them for life. Be especially near to those who must raise their children alone. We pray for all parents, mothers and fathers and others who are finding fresh challenges to being a parent in this time. And so we ask you to give them a deep supply of patience and to help them have all of those things needed to meet the challenges of this specific day, to refresh their spirits. In every situation where mothers have suffered the loss of children in utero, during birth, or at any point thereafter, may you pour down a special blessing upon these tender places of grief. And where mothers have been the cause of hurt or pain or sometimes abuse or neglect, we ask that your spirit of healing be present to bind up every child who was on the receiving end, and where possible, if possible, to restore relationship. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to look to our divine parent, praying, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. People of God, may the lonely paths of self-interest and despair lead to the broad highway of wholeness and understanding between all people. With friendship as our goal, let us become builders along the access ways to God's peace. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.